The sound words of biblical doctrine are those ingredients which eliminate the microbes of evil and error.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I think Paul is saying to us, with respect to the issue of Christian service, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7, that nothing that is easy is ever worthwhile. Or perhaps we could reverse that statement and it would be even more accurate. Nothing that is worthwhile is ever easy. And I think Paul has already illustrated that point in the first 7 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. He's illustrated that point very clearly. Nothing worthwhile is ever easy. He's illustrated it metaphorically from the experience of the soldier, the experience of the athlete, and the experience of the farmer, the toiler. But having illustrated his theme by metaphor, Paul goes on to reinforce that theme from experience. And so in verses 8 to 13, he makes a threefold appeal to the experience of certain individuals or groups. In each experience, the lesson is the same. Very simply stated, it is this: no pains, no gains. No cross, no crown. He appeals first to the experience of the Savior. That's verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ. And then he appeals second to the experience of his servant, that is, of Christ's servant, namely himself. That's verses 9 and 10. And then he appeals finally to the experience of the saints in general, the common experience of the Christian populace, and that's in verses 11 to 13. Now let's look at the experience of the Savior. That's really all we're going to look at in this particular section of the narrative, but at least you have the basic outline and the flow of thought there. The experience of the Savior. Do you see that verse? Quite literally, Paul is saying in that verse, and I want to quote it to you very literally. It comes right out of the Greek New Testament. There are no variants in the text. This is a literal rendering of the text. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, of the seed of David, according to my gospel. And as I look at that verse, there are two emphases that stand out to me, and they're the things I want to share with you as quickly as I can. The first thing I see in that verse is Christ's preeminence. Remember Jesus Christ. Focus your mind upon him. Christ's preeminence. Remember Jesus Christ. The second thing I see is Christ's position. Remember him, one, as the risen one, raised from the dead. Remember him, two, as the reigning one of the seed of David. First, let's begin with this idea, remember Jesus Christ. That's a good imperative for every one of us who are New Testament Christians to take seriously. Remember Jesus Christ, Christ's preeminence. You know that's a curious imperative? It's a curious imperative. Such a command. It's in the imperative mode. It's a command. Present tense. Keep on remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very enunciation of the imperative carries with it the implication that there's the tendency to forget him. What does it mean to forget God? It does not mean that we fail to remember that he exists academically or mentally. It doesn't mean that he is banished from our minds. What it does mean is that he is banished from our behavior. It means that we fail to behave as though God exists. It doesn't mean academically or mentally or intellectually, pedantically, if you will. It doesn't mean in those ways that we have forgotten God. It means that on a practical basis, we behave sometimes as though God did not exist. It means that we plunge recklessly forward in life as Christians, rarely, if ever, consulting God or his word or his will. Paul says, whatever you do, Timothy, don't do that. Remember Jesus Christ. You ever thought about this concept? We know now what it means, at least a little bit, of what it means to forget God, to fail to remember him. But have you ever thought, why do we forget God? Do you know the Bible is quite precise in this area? What is it in life that would motivate a Christian to forget God practically? As I look at the Bible, and this is not an exhaustive list, but as I look at the Bible, I can think of at least four things that would motivate us to forget God, and they're stated in the Bible. The first is apathy. The Bible says in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 23, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 23. Take heed, lest you forget. In other words, don't be apathetic. The Bible says there's a second thing that would cause us to forget our God, and that's affluence. The first is apathy. The second is affluence. Deuteronomy 6, 10 to 12. Moses warned us in the Old Testament. He warned us of a time when we shall have houses full of all good things. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10. When our needs begin to be met, do you know what happens? We tend to forget that we have needs. So we're warned in the scripture, beware of the deceitfulness of riches. Mark the 4th chapter in verse 19. There's a third cause of our forgetting God, and that is arrogance. Moses warned of a time when thine heart shall be lifted up. Pride, arrogance. Moses warned of a time when thine heart shall be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 14. Pride, arrogance, the word lifted up there, it's the Hebrew root room. And it means arrogance or pride. At rock bottom, bottom line, it means arrogance or pride. Lifted up in pride, lifted up in arrogance. Pride produces many ugly consequences in our lives, not the least of which is the tendency to forget God. A spirit of self-sufficiency. We become proud. We think we provide for ourselves. We can handle the situations on our own initiative. When a man loses his sense of needing God, he loses his sense of depending upon God. In a word, he forgets God, practically. So we're taught in the scripture, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And we need to learn that. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. You know, there's a fourth and final reason, and this is not exhaustive, but there's a fourth and final reason why the Bible says that we might forget God. It's an Old Testament principle again. The fourth and final reason is apostasy. The scripture says God spoke through Jeremiah in the Old Testament, and God said, I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name. He's talking about false prophets, apostate prophets who propagate apostate dogma or apostate doctrine, false doctrine. I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams and their visions. Jeremiah 23, verses 25 to 27. False teachers do not know God, and their followers have forgotten all about him. Nothing will produce a false dependency any quicker than listening to a false doctrine. So we're taught in the scriptures, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 13. Because the sound words of biblical doctrine are those ingredients which eliminate the microbes of evil and error. So Paul is urging Timothy to keep this preeminent person, the Lord Jesus Christ, foremost in his memory. Remember Jesus Christ. Paul is attempting to inspire Timothy, to motivate him. And in so doing, he has appealed through his metaphors to the Christian soldier, to the Christian athlete, and to the Christian toiler or farmer. And now he comes to the greatest appeal of all. He comes to Jesus Christ. Do you need a motivation to live a dedicated life? Do you need a motivation to live up under the pressure that God has allowed to come crushing down into your life, crashing down into your life? Do you need a motivation to keep going and to be faithful and to be loyal and to be dedicated? Remember Jesus Christ. Think about him, all that he endured for you. Look at his life and ask God's Spirit to reduplicate that in your life. That's a good message for Timothy, and I'd suggest it's a good message for you and me. It's good for me in the ministry to remember Jesus Christ. You know, whenever we're tempted to defect, maybe we want to hand in our Bibles. Pastor, I'm giving up. Maybe we're going to turn over our hymn books. Maybe we're going to throw in the towel. We're going to defect. Paul says, remember Jesus Christ. Remember what he endured. Remember what he suffered. Remember he came out of that grave. Remember the great blessing that has come into your life through what he endured. And let that be a source of inspiration and motivation in your own Christian experience. So here's Christ's preeminence. Remember Jesus Christ. And then secondly, here's Christ's position. We won't have time to look at all of this, but we want to focus on this one facet of it. Paul has told us who we are to remember, Jesus Christ. And then he wants to tell us how we are to remember him. How should I remember him, Paul? What should I think about when I remember Jesus Christ? Remember, he is the risen one, raised from the dead. There's nothing Rome can do to you that will bring any irreparable harm. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. It was Rome that crucified Jesus, and he was raised from the dead. Remember him, one, as the risen one, and then two, remember him as the reigning one. He is of the seed of David. Now let's talk about this just for a moment. He's the risen one. Every Lord's Day ought to be a reminder of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the powerful, beneficent blessings that come flowing into our lives because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary and the mighty approval of God the Father on that work as He brought Him forth out of the grave. We believe in a literal, physical resurrection. It wasn't just a spiritual quickening. We believe in the enlivenment of a corpse. The body of Jesus was made alive. He came out physically from that grave. He's the risen one. What does it mean? Why is it so critical? Why is it so important? I would say the concept of the risen one, Christ raised from the dead, it's a perfect tense. Raised and still alive would be a way of translating that. He's raised and still alive. I would say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so critical to Timothy on this occasion and so critical to you and I on this occasion as well for two reasons. One, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is verification of our Christian principles. We know that the truth He espoused and taught is right, and the ultimate confirmation of it is the resurrection of the Son of God. It's the verification of Christian principles, the resurrection is, and beyond that, it is the confirmation of Christ's presence every day with us. Because He is alive, He's with us. It is the verification of Christian principles, it is the confirmation of Christ's presence every day of our lives. Do you know that there were five great facts that were proven by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, every one of which was very relevant to Timothy as he faced the awesome task of taking the torch from Paul and moving forward into that Roman Empire with the message of the gospel? There were five great facts that were proven, five great principles that were verified by the resurrection of Christ. You know what they are? Here they are. The first powerful principle which was proved by the resurrection is that light is stronger than darkness. And there was Timothy, immersed in the darkness of the Roman Empire. But he had the light of life abiding in him. He had the Lord Jesus in him. And we're taught in the Scriptures that light is stronger than the darkness and that the resurrection is the verification of that principle. Do you remember at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? And throughout the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was this aura of light, this atmosphere of light. The Bible says the glory of the Lord shone round about them at the birth of Jesus. And in the ministry of Jesus, our Lord said in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. At the birth of Jesus and throughout the ministry of Jesus, there was this aura of light all about the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Jesus died, it was thought for three dreadful days that the light had gone out and that the powers of darkness had conquered the powers of light. Do you know what the resurrection is? The resurrection is the ultimate proof. The categorical demonstration that the powers of light always will conquer the powers of darkness. Timothy, I want you to be reminded of that. The verification of our Christian principles, those mighty teachings and truths which I'm teaching you to hold on to, Paul says, those things for which you ought to be willing to die, we want you to know that our risen Savior has verified their credibility. Light is stronger than the darkness.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The resurrection is the ultimate, final, categorical proof of the indestructibility of the life that we possess in Jesus Christ.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.